It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers and the Scottish FA respond to Sunday's Old Firm violence. Stephen Robinson is the new Aberdeen manager after moving from St Mirren on a three-year deal. And Dennett McKenna says Hearts are ready to welcome back Lauren Shankland and Cammy Devlin. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Killian Sheridan and Gordon DL.
Well, it's all happening in the football front after the weekend and all the talking points of the Scottish Cup. Andrew, we're now focusing on this weekend of the important league games, and a lot of good games that are out there, and how football changes quickly for managers. Stephen Robinson not doing very well in the league with St Mirren, already won the League Cup in the semi-final against Celtic, and today he's announced as Aberdeen manager, who have been knocked out of the Scottish Cup by a Championship team, sitting down there in ninth place, really struggling. It's a bizarre season.
Yeah, Stephen Robinson maybe seemed like the obvious choice to Aberdeen for some people a couple of months ago, but then when the news broke yesterday, it was a bit of a shock to many people that they decided to make this decision now.
Yeah, definitely. I think it kind of highlights probably how many managers that they thought they were appointing that potentially have said no or talks broke down, as I think would have been very advanced stages. I know managers were coming over, Aberdeen were hosting them at games and stuff. I think probably thinking that things were done. Obviously proven to not be the case. Stephen Robinson was there, I think, under their noses the whole time. And probably if they went and got him straight away, not really a big deal. People probably wouldn't have looked at it and thought, questioned it. Whereas now you're probably wondering, why is it taking so long? But he's in, he'll look to get going straight away and probably changed our fortunes.
I did think when we were sitting in the office about half an hour ago that we might have a show that's all about St Mirren and Aberdeen and Stephen Robinson. We're hearing from Dennett McInnes today on some of the players coming back from injuries. Jens Bertolaskou has been speaking today as well. Scotland's first two World Cup matches will definitely take place in Boston, we know now, after there was a bit of a dispute going on. However, there's a statement that's come out from Rangers. I think a long-awaited statement. People have been questioning why there has been a silence from Celtic and Rangers over the past few days. The Scottish FA released a statement just before that. Rangers have done as well. So that'll be something that people will be interested to hear about and talk about.
Yeah, I think everybody has been waiting and statements coming out from both clubs, Gordon.
Gordon, there we go. First one, what's that, 5 past 6?
Oh, the mistake of the night already. I was talking to myself in the mirror there. But, you know, it's now Thursday. The statement has come out from Rangers. It's not come out that long ago. We were sitting in the office waiting for it to come out. But I think we all know what the outcome for the fans is going to be going forward, which for me is sad, because I've said it on this show many times. I played in that fixture when the fans were, you know, Celtic fans were in the other end and Rangers fans and the atmosphere and everything. It was brilliant. But I think that's long gone now.
Right, thanks for that, Hugh. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. You can get your thoughts in, whether it is in response to Rangers' statement that I'm just about to read out to you, or the Scottish FA statement, which is a bit more brief than the Rangers one. Lots else happening as well today to get our teeth into. Stephen Robinson, we heard the story yesterday that he was likely to be appointed the new Aberdeen manager, but that has now happened, a three-year deal for him. So first of all, Aberdeen fans, how do you feel about it? Is he the right man for the job? Are you sceptical maybe about that appointment? Why did it take 2 months to go for the man that was maybe right under Aberdeen's noses? 0141 951 1025. Interested to hear from a St Mirren perspective what you're thinking, because Stephen Robinson surely goes down with legendary status with what he's done, taking the club into Europe. He's won a cup, semi-final of the cup this year, 3 back-to-back top six finishes. So I'm sure you want to pay credit to what he has done in Paisley. And what next? Who should be the next manager? 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from the likes of Dennett McInnes, Jens Bertolaskou, and a few others as well. 0141 951 1025. Well, let's kick off with that Rangers statement, shall we, that dropped about half an hour ago. As I said, people have been waiting to hear from both Celtic and Rangers after the events of last Sunday. That statement came from Rangers today. They said, following the events of Sunday's Scottish Cup fixture at Ibrox, we've spent the past few days in discussions with our staff, supporters groups and the relevant authorities, and we will continue to work closely with Police Scotland, Glasgow City Council and the Scottish FA and the Safety Advisory Group in the weeks ahead. The disorder that occurred on Sunday was unacceptable and we condemn it unequivocally. Safety must always come first in football for supporters, players and everyone working in and around the game. We also want to recognise the efforts of many staff, stewards and emergency services who operated in extremely difficult circumstances on the day. There are now a number of serious issues which require proper examination. For that reason, we agree that there should be a fully independent review into the events surrounding the match. That review must be thorough and wide-ranging, examining the decisions and actions of all relevant parties. Its scope must include the broader context around the fixture, from the initial decisions on ticket allocations through to the sequence of incidents that followed the match. All parties must be prepared to have their actions and decision-making subjected to proper scrutiny. I'll go on to read the rest of it shortly, just to get into that, because it is quite a lengthy statement. An independent review, how important do you feel that is? Rangers are backing that. It looks as if the Scottish FA are as well. We'll hear from Celtic, I'm sure, at some point. Is that the right way to go?
Yeah, listen, there's a lot to get through. I don't think just after Sunday you're going to get everything sorted by Thursday because of the situation. You're right, they've got to look at ticket, you've got to look at, you know, the behaviour of supporters and everything, and policing and staffing, everything to go with. I think Celtic's statement will probably be roughly the same, Andrew. I do think it will take time. I think this will go on and on for the coming weeks till we actually get to the bottom, and then obviously hopefully we can get it all solved, get it put to bed. But going forward, I don't think there's any hope whatsoever in seeing, you know, that sort of allocation again for away fans.
The statement goes on to say, where individuals are identified and convicted of offences connected to the match, the club will take action and impose appropriate sanctions, including the potential withdrawal of ticketing privileges and stadium bans. We will approach all regulatory engagement responsibly and cooperate fully with authorities as the facts are established. At the same time, we will represent the club and our supporters robustly. We recognise that many fans want the club to say more at this stage, and supporters should be assured that we are across the detail of the issues being discussed and the questions being raised. However, it's important that we respect any ongoing investigative or judicial processes and do nothing that could prejudice them. There will be an appropriate time to address those matters fully. So it, of course, doesn't go into full detail, which we will hear once investigations have taken place. It then goes on to say, what we can say now is that the issues of stadium safety and the legacy of the Ibrox disaster are deeply personal to this club. We are appalled to discover graffiti within the stadium referencing that tragedy. The memory of the 66 supporters who lost their lives on January 1971 deserves dignity and respect. To desecrate their memory is vile and is cowardly. It is shameful, and this is not football rivalry, and it is not banter. It is abuse of a tragedy that claimed 66 lives. Finally, it's important that the reputation of Rangers supporters is treated fairly in this discussion. Tens of thousands of people attended Ibrox on Sunday simply to support their team with pride to watch a football match. We will not accept a narrative that ignores the full context of what happened. For now, it would not be appropriate to comment further. And I think that is important, that when it comes to Rangers, when it comes to Celtic, when it comes to the Scottish FA, all relevant parties, that when there is that independent review, that everyone just sort of works together to try and find the right solutions, the right punishments, the right outcomes for what were terrible scenes that we saw on Sunday.
Yeah, I think the key thing in it all is probably the independence of it. Who does that? I don't know. I don't know how to decide who is the independent person who doesn't have any bias towards one of the other. And that kind of takes away the whole blame game, which is going on at the minute between everyone, between clubs, police, SFA possibly now, I don't know. So I think that's probably the most important thing in terms of kind of clearing it up or getting to the bottom of things. I was delighted that it just dropped as I was coming in, because I was like, it's finally died down. I can come in and have a nice
quiet Thursday,
yeah, talk about St. Mirren and all that kind of stuff. But no, I think it's just going to be, like Gordon saying, Celtic perhaps could come out with a similar statement if they feel the need to. But it is sad that it's come to this, where we all did see how good of an atmosphere it was when, like, during the game, it felt good to kind of have it all back to what it used to be like. So it'll be a shame if that's lost in it all. But again, I think probably the most important thing in it all is an actual authentic independent review on it.
Just to add to that, the Scottish FA released their own statement just before that. They said they confirmed that the compliance officer is collating evidence from the weekend's derby match at Ibrox Stadium. Any alleged breaches will be notified to relevant parties in line with the judicial panel protocol. Furthermore, following discussions with the relevant stakeholders, the Scottish FA will commission an independent review of the matchday safety and security operations for the Scottish Gas Scottish Cup quarter-final fixture. This review will seek to provide recommendations for all parties to ensure no repeat of the events that have tarnished the image and reputation of the game. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you have some thoughts on that. Maybe you want to talk about the actual football. That is absolutely fine with me as well. 0141 951 1025. Richard is up first. He's a Celtic fan in Livingston. Richard, what is on your mind this evening?
Hey, I'm just pretty shocked about the debut of Nvuka, and I know Gordon Gordon couldn't help laughing, but what is going on at Celtic if they were going to pay money for that boy? And if there's a huge clamour at Celtic to get Martin O'Neill into, you know, a sporting director's role, I personally don't believe that he signed off on that. But if he did, then no, don't bother. If we were going to spend 3 or 4 million on a boy that can't kick a ball straight, can't header a ball, then nah.
I mean, we've not seen a lot of Joel Nvuka so far. Richard, not impressed. Was it 45 minutes against Dundee on his debut and then wasn't seen in a few squads since then, came on and played at the weekend. Can you see why Richard is concerned about Celtic's recruitment generally? Because similar happened in the summer with Michelle Anger, Balakwisha, who's sort of disappeared off the face of the earth.
He's right, because it was reported Celtic were going to pay a real few quid for a lad. Now, I stood in here on Sunday and watched it and couldn't believe my eyes that a Celtic football player could be that bad, right? But I had a chuckle because I was that far gone. I'm thinking, I can't believe this. I don't know what's going on here. But he's a professional footballer that maybe the Celtic is just too big for him. Maybe Scottish football isn't right for him. I don't know, but he looks like a player in the wrong movie for me. But he's not alone. I look at both clubs there on Sunday. I think the recruitment has not been good. Celtic signed 2 centre-forwards in the January window to come in and try and get them really going. In the 2 games against Rangers, the biggest games at Ibrox, one of them got 45 minutes in the first game, right? And then the second game, one got another, you know, he come on as a sub. The other one wasn't even involved in the bench. They bring on their left winger, Nvuka. He was all over the place. And I look at Rangers as well. I think Rangers are guilty as well. I think the transfer windows for both clubs this season have been really, really poor. I really do. If you're looking at that, and we mentioned it, surely Celtic must have an academy. They've got a young winger that can come on and play better than what some of these players are doing. If they've not, I don't see the point of the academy. I really don't. If I was a young kid there sitting watching that, I'd be thinking to myself, I may as well try and get out of this club because I ain't going to get an opportunity if this is what's getting put in front of me. So, I was very surprised he got on the pitch because he'd appeared for 45 minutes, wasn't the greatest, and I thought, well, that's the end of his career. And, you know, they've spent money, Balakwisha as well. There's another guy that came in, he made his debut at Ibrox, and they paid millions for him as well, and never seen, he's not even in the squad. The amount of money that both clubs, for me, this season's wasted is incredible.
Celtic came out after the summer transfer window and there was an admission that they didn't get it right and that they would learn from their mistakes from that summer window going into future windows. Based on the evidence that you've seen so far, Killian, did they learn their lessons going into the January window?
No, I think the difference in the January window was there was no one there who was actually really in control of it all, or who was the head of recruitment was gone. And then you've got interim managers coming in. Are they in charge of the recruitment of players? They're having to do everything. And we've always said it, January is a tough time for clubs to find players who are performing well and aren't kind of like out in the cold at their own clubs. And then if they come into a club like Celtic, who also aren't particularly playing well either. So it's tough. It's different if you're coming into a team that's flying, confidence is high, they're playing good football. Celtic at the minute are grinding out results, and it's probably harder to come into a team like that when you're not up to full speed. And I think the hardest thing for them now at the minute is they don't have time to give them two or three games where they can maybe get themselves up to speed. Scotland, the Scottish League, it's a hard league to come into and adapt to. It's fast-paced, it's intense. You see good players come up and struggle. And I think it's just hard. If you're getting 45 minutes here and there, I know it's down to the player to, when you do get that chance, to go and do well and impress and stamp yourself in the team. But it is hard as well to kind of always be chopping and changing, coming in for 45 and then you're not seen for maybe two or three games and then get thrown into a game like that at the weekend.
During the January window, Richard, a lot of people said because the title race was so tight that, you know, whoever wins the January window essentially are the team that's going to win the title race. Do you go along with that? And based on what Celtic have done, is that a big concern for you in the next few weeks that they didn't do enough to try and get the title over the line?
I don't think anyone would think that Martin O'Neill was backed at all, really. I can't believe that he signed off in Vuka at all. I really don't believe that. Like, everyone knows what Martin O'Neill's signings look like. They're certainly not that size.
I mean, it's always hard to tell, Gordon, isn't it, exactly who has recruited what player. Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham, did a lot of work in the January transfer window to try and identify targets. Martin O'Neill did say that, you know, he was the one signing off on players. So you've got to imagine that, you know, Joel Onvuka was a player that was put to Martin O'Neill, and he was someone that he did approve the signing of based on what he said.
Well, yeah, we don't know the facts of it. I was a bit surprised, to be honest with you, that Martin actually put him on the pitch. Because he really looked like a lad that was struggling. I felt
to go from not being in the squad whatsoever for a few weeks to then be thrown into a big game.
A massive
I know
game.
Celtic have injury issues, but still a surprise.
See, at the end of the day, Celtic and Martin O'Neill can argue, well, doesn't matter throwing him on the pitch or not, we're in the same final of the Scottish Cup, which is fine. But I felt sorry for a lad. I just thought he was well out of his depth. I didn't think he looked comfortable at all. I thought at one point he had his boots on the wrong feet. I really did. He's not been alone. They brought in players and have spent a lot of money. Their transfer windows have been really poor. And I think, obviously, and I'm saying it as well, I think Rangers' transfer windows haven't been that great as well. I think they've been a bit better, but I don't think they've been great. You look at one or two that they brought in and you're thinking, oh, you'd expect a lot better. People underestimate Scottish football, Andrew. I think that's a problem, right? Everybody looks at Scottish football as, oh, it's a joke of a league. You go down to England, they hardly talk about it. Oh, they've only Celtic Rangers up there. It's a joke. The standard's terrible. Players, top players, and top players for England as well, and abroad have come into our top leagues and struggled badly. It doesn't mean to say they're bad players and they'll never play football again. It's just Scottish football is very hard to adapt to, and especially with two big, big clubs.
Well, thank you to Richard, 0141 951 1025. Keep your calls coming, whether you want to react to that Rangers statement about Sunday's Old Firm match, whether you want to react to the Scottish FA statement. We want to hear from you, St Mirren fans, Aberdeen fans, because of course Stephen Robinson is the new Aberdeen manager. We're going to hear from the likes of Derek McInnes as well ahead of a big weekend of action.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Maybe you want to talk about the Rangers statement that has been released on the scenes we saw at Ibrox at Sunday's Old Firm game. Maybe you want to react to the fact the SFA have said something as well. Going to get into the fact that Stephen Robinson is the new Aberdeen manager. Interested to hear it from both perspectives. St Mirren fans, Aberdeen fans, how are you feeling about that one? 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to William, who is a Rangers fan in Stevenston. William, how are you?
Hello, Andrew, Killian and Gordon, I believe. Yeah. I'm not too bad. Yeah, it's about... I've not been on since Sunday. It's a point about the crowd trouble and Rangers' title chances, right? The first one is the crowd trouble, right? You couldn't deny Celtic the full allocation, but I do believe Rangers warned SFA it'd probably be a bad idea to let that amount of fans in because they're just asking for trouble. The Green Brigade and Union Bears banned a lot of them for life. Don't let any of these people in the grounds ever again. They're just wee neds and balaclavas. On the title race...
I'll take that point first, William, and I'll let you come in on the title race. I have no idea whether Rangers recommended to the Scottish FA whether it was a bad idea or not. I would imagine that Rangers were probably pushing for a smaller allocation. Celtic were pushing for a bigger allocation, but... You know, it was settled on 7,500. Williams saying, you know, ban everyone from the Green Brigade, ban everyone from the Union Bears. You've got to imagine that there will be, just by pure numbers, probably people that are represented in those groups that didn't cause trouble and maybe aren't going to football matches to cause things like that. So a blanket ban, is that a tough one?
No,
to...
I know what William's saying. I think it's just anger. People are angry because there was a situation there to get this great game back, because it's all about the supporters, it's all about the atmosphere. Look, what we're forgetting here is, yes, we're concentrating on what happened after the game. The majority of fans, Rangers and Celtic, went along there to support their team and try to get to a semi-final of the cup. They were, look, if you're Rangers fan, you're disappointed. Of course, you're angry with your team and everything, because it was a great opportunity to beat a very weak Celtic side. If you're a Celtic fan, you're over the moon, because you went to Ibrox, beat your biggest rivals, and you're in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup, and probably favourites to go on and win it. But I don't think you can just throw everything at the Union Bears and Green Brigade and say, right, that's got to solve the problem, ban everybody. Because I do not think that's fair at all. I think that if both teams, clubs, can identify people that were involved, then ban them from the stadiums, 100%. I'm right for that. But just to say, right, put a blanket ban over if the Union Bears and the Green Brigade, no, I don't think that's worked.
Is that the crux of the issue, Killian? Because people will point fingers at Celtic as a whole, Rangers as a whole, the Green Brigade as a whole, the Union Bears as a whole, other supporters groups, when the real issue is there were individuals and a number of individuals, no matter who they represent, what colour of shirt they wear, what supporters group they're a part of, that let themselves down, disgrace themselves with their behaviour. It's about getting to these individuals and making sure that the punishments are right for the people that caused those problems.
Yeah, I think that'll be the thing. I think once this investigation or review happens and the individuals that need to be identified and punished, they serve their punishment. I don't think there's any point in punishing a group or a collective for a few that causes trouble for them. And I think, like, I kind of go back to it, if you just took the game up until the final whistle and then it's over and none of that happens, everyone's talking about how good an atmosphere it was to kind of have it all back like that again. It adds to the game. It's the fixture that dominates a lot of the television deals with Sky and stuff. It is a massive fixture. It's all the atmosphere and everything is a part of it. And I just think it's, I agree with Gordon. I think it's hard to just punish
The reason being is quite simple. I'm not picking out on individuals or anything here, but you're talking about everybody looks at Union Bears, calls it Rangers, Green Brigade. Now, there's an incident that we see on TV that a supporter come on. He come on from where the dugout was, right? He come on for the side of the pitch. So he's not involved in the Union Bears because everybody knows where the Union Bears sit. And stand and do what they have to do. So that's what I'm saying. But I do agree. I think if you can identify the individuals, which was very hard, then you've got to punish these people by banning them from the game. But you can't collectively turn around and say, right, Green Brigade, Union Bears, yous are banned from football.
Well, William, what was your point on the title race?
Yeah, I'll quickly come to that point. Gordon's spot on. We'll cut some slack. There's some idiots that came from the other sides of the ground that did a line attack to the Celtic physio, ban him for life. That's the idea I gave with Gordon at that point. It's just there was guys coming. But on the title, yeah, we've got four games before the split. We've got St Mirren, Aberdeen, Dundee United and Falkirk. If the Rangers drop any points in those four games, they can forget about the league.
William, do you think Rangers are capable of getting 12 points from those four games?
I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I think we could win the first three. But Falkirk's going to be tough. I definitely believe we can beat Aberdeen and Dundee United Ibers because they're poor sides. St Mirren are always tough on their own ground. Falkirk are playing very well. But everybody's saying Celtic are the favourites. We're a point behind them. Everybody's, the Hearts are still obviously in front. Everybody's saying Celtic's got the momentum, but we're only a point behind Celtic. If we stay close to Celtic, then we have a chance. But if we don't gather 12, in my opinion, before the split, it's going to be very difficult.
I sort of disagree with you, William Wright, because you're saying everybody thinks that Celtic are the favourites. I think a big majority of people think Hearts are now favourites. If you look at Hearts running up until the split, it's decent for them. They're starting to get one or two players back. They've had a good rest. They're sitting there, 63 points. You're looking at 81, 82, maybe even 80 would scrape the title this year, because when you get into the top six, there's points going to be dropped all over the place with the games. People don't like going to Fir Park and going to Falkirk and Easter Road because Hibs are in decent form. Rangers, Celtic, Hearts still to play each other as well. I think it's brilliant. I think it's exciting. But I'm sort of listening to William talking, and everybody seems to be concentrating on Rangers and Celtic. Oh, we're only a point behind Celtic. Celtic may be the favourite. Hearts are sitting in a brilliant, brilliant position just now.
William, just on the point in the title race, you look at the last three matches, that draw against Livingston, then throwing away the two-goal lead against Celtic, then losing on penalties to Celtic. How much has that run maybe dented some confidence that you had before that?
Well, I think it's not the Celtic result, it's the result. But see that Livingston result? That's your typical Rangers playing well. It's like your Ross County Dundee moment last year. We've gone great guns. We just thrashed Hearts. You know what I mean? We beat them soundly, right? But then Livingston, we dropped 2 points. I think that's a killer result, in my opinion. But Gordon's right. Gordon's kind of picked me up. I said Hearts are still up there, but it only takes one defeat from Hearts, and the Rangers themselves keep winning. You're doing to a win and a loss. You know what I mean? If they lose and we keep winning, it's 3 points or 2 points or Celtic. You know what I mean? Then the pressure's on Hearts. I do believe Hearts are in a great position, but if they, you know what I mean, their bottle's going to get tested now. This is the run-in, you know what I mean? They're going to keep winning.
Their bottle's been tested for 21, 22 weeks, I think, and fair credit to them. Look, I'm not sitting here saying that Hearts are a stick on to win the league, but they're in a great position, obviously, because the league tells you that. Yeah, I think William's right. I think that we'll get a bit nervy, but I see Hearts, Celtic and Rangers all dropping points. It's just who can get, if Hearts can maybe get over a line, I think Celtic and Rangers will put pressure on them. But if you're a jumbo, then now you're a happy person.
Well, thank you to William. What about Michael, who is a Celtic fan in Blackwood? Michael, what are you thinking tonight?
Well, thanks yourself and to panel, Gordon and Killian. I'd like to say, I'm a Celtic man, and I've got a lot of family and friends that are Rangers. We've never had any issues. Now, I was at the Ibrox disaster. I was 16 years old, and my mother told me to wait till the crowd left before I left the park. I was the very last Celtic fan left in the Celtic end. And I seen all the bodies lying in the park. And I remember, it was wee things, I remember, a guy's shoe stick out from underneath. I've never forgotten that. I think about that every day. So, you know, this is things that people shouldn't mock. It's terrible, really. I'm saying that as a Celtic fan. The thing is, I've just made the point, the vast majority of Celtic and Rangers fans are decent people. This is a society thing with these clowns on both, and both sides, some of them. They think they can just do what they like and when they like. Well, that's what needs to be addressed, because it, you know what I mean? It's not like the idea people get that it's so Celtic, you know, Rangers, they're all bad. The vast majority are decent people. And we just have to try and get rid of the elements that are, as they say, if anybody's found anything really bad, ban them for life, and that's my point.
Because that'll be an important balance to strike when it comes to the independent review, Killian, is that, yes, it's important to, you know, target the individuals that were responsible for some terrible behaviour on Sunday, but we also don't want to ruin the match-going experience of the average supporter. So in terms of punishments and trying to strike that balance, because there will have been, well, obviously the majority of the people inside the stadium weren't responsible for the scenes that we saw, and we don't want the minority that caused that disruption to ruin things for everyone else.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of, there will be a lot of pressure on this review, and then I think once it comes down to the individuals that are caught, and not more so the group collective, I think that kind of doesn't then harm everyone else. Like you're saying, everyone can go and enjoy the games like that in the future, and the atmosphere like that in the future, in future fixtures. But for me, I've always hated pitch invasions. I've always thought there's going to be a point where there's been a few games over the last few seasons, and it's just when there's players on the pitch, one team's won, one team's lost, there's going to be players on the pitch that are unhappy that they've just lost. This is maybe a little bit of a separate point, but I feel like it's always building and building. For there's going to eventually be something much much worse than Sunday, and I'm not just talking about Celtic and Rangers. Just I've seen it in loads of games where there's been times where pitch invasions have been very close to overspilling with into full on brawls between fans and players.
Well, thank you to Michael, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. While you get your calls in, I'll tell you about this.
Clyde One. Make me a
winner. Yeah, picture starting this weekend with £600,000 landing in your account. That's £500,000 plus another £100,000 on top. Friday the 13th will be lucky for someone, so make sure you get your name in the draw to enter. Text YES to 61025, text or 250, plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find the rules for this network competition, or you can call 03434 269 340. All calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and the clock is ticking. Lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and someone will win the lot. So just answer your phone. £600,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account right after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots to get through tonight, so get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. Rangers have released a statement on what happened after Sunday's Old Firm. Maybe you want to talk about that. Maybe you are a St Mirren fan or an Aberdeen fan that's interested in the fact that Stephen Robinson has moved from St Mirren to Aberdeen. A few other things going on as well, so get those calls in. Was enjoying that during the break, you just completely abusing your privilege here by texting into the group chat with the producers saying that you had an emergency in the studio only for when one of them came through to tell them that you wanted to golf on the TV. You're really taking this seriously, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm a bit annoyed the fact that if it was an emergency, they took their time, and the producer you're
talking
about.
It is a very good point. Because first of all, I should say, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be messaging that there's an emergency when there's not an emergency. But the response time was absolutely ridiculous at the same time.
Ridiculous. So keep your eyes out. You know what I mean? Keep your eyes on us and the cameras in case anything happens.
Yeah, terrible work all round, really. 0141 951 1025. Ben is a St Mirren fan in Bishopton. Ben, how are you taking the news that Stephen Robinson is away?
I am gutted, panel. It's really disappointing stuff. I thought we'd escaped that, but he's away, and I guess he deserves the opportunity, so he leaves with our best wishes. But yeah, so sorry to see him go.
How much of a shock did it come as, Ben? Because I think if the appointment had been made or the approach had come right after Jimmy Tilleen had left at the start of January, that some St Mirren fans, a lot of St Mirren fans, might have expected it. But was that 2 month gap? Did you think you were in the clear and that he was going to see the season out at least?
Yeah, completely. Every time someone's sacked in this country, you think, oh, maybe he'll be going. But yeah, I thought we'd escaped it because they were looking elsewhere. And because it all happened so quickly, we just got wind a couple of days ago and then he's away already. So yeah, but just really disappointed. He's been brilliant for us, and he's sort of had the best at Mirren team in my adult life anyway. The last few years have been great. So it's absolutely disappointing, but I guess it's a bit, it's going to happen, isn't it? You're part of the food chain of football, so someone's going to go and coach your manager.
We'll look at it from an Aberdeen perspective shortly, but from a St Mirren perspective, you just need to look at what Stephen Robinson achieved in his time in Paisley. 3 back-to-back top 6 finishes, won the League Cup this year, took St Mirren into Europe for the first time since the 80s.
Sitting in the semi-final.
You can see why Ben's so gutted.
Do you know something? I totally get Ben, and I get the St Mirren fans. I think it might be a little bit, it's a weird season, I think it might be a little bit of godsend for St Mirren.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think St Mirren, I'm looking at them in the league campaign, right? And they are dropping like a fly. I watched them the other night against Partick Thistle, and I don't know if Ben would agree, but I thought they were lucky to get through. I thought the penalty kick was never a penalty kick in a million years, and I thought Partick Thistle over a piece were a better side. But cup football's all about getting into the next round, and they're in the semi-final against Celtic. I just look at, and by the way, this is nothing against Stephen Robinson, because you're right, his record, he was brilliant, he's brought them silverware, gave them a fantastic day at Hampden. I was there watching the scenes with the St Mirren fans, the players and their families. It was great, thoroughly deserved it. They beat Celtic. I just think maybe if they can get the right person in, a different voice, a different maybe approach, because they play Rangers at the weekend, and to be honest with you, I fancy Rangers to go there and turn St Mirren over. Okay, Kilmarnock have got Hearts, but they're 3 points. And you look at Kilmarnock, you look at St Mirren, they're the ones that are really going to be fighting probably for that 11th spot just now. Well, the 10th spot, nobody wants to be in 11. So maybe the fact that Stephen has left and a new voice comes in, it might just give them that wee spur, that wee kick on that they maybe needed, because as much as Stephen's been brilliant, in the semi-final, great, you've got to look at their league campaign, and their form in the league has been dreadful. Let's not be kidded here. So maybe Stephen going away to Aberdeen, he might give Aberdeen that lift that they need. Then somebody coming in gives St Mirren just something different, and the players might respond to it.
Do you see that train of thought at all, Ben?
Listen, I hope so. This new manager bounce thing that people talk about, I don't know. It's been really hard to put our finger on why our league form's been so bad, because it's not a great deal of change in personnel and system, etc. But so it's really hard to put your finger on. There's definitely a number of players just aren't playing at the same level as they were the last couple of seasons for whatever reason. But I hope you're right, Gordon. I hope we get the new manager bounce, but we'll see.
Any early ideas, Ben, of who you'd like to see in the dugout?
Yeah, for me, it'd probably be Callum Davidson. He was really unfairly sacked by St Johnston. It was a ridiculous decision. And look what happened to him now within the Championship. But I think he's a good manager within our reach, and I think he would be my choice.
Is his time at Queen's Park, is that a concern for you at all? He was there for a while and ended up getting sacked there.
No, not really. Queen's Park have got their own background issues and all that with money, etc. So I think that's a bit of a... I don't think anyone could have done well there, to be fair. So, no, that's my choice. But I don't too many obvious candidates. I mean, I know one of my friends thinks, you know, Valakari, St Johnston, but he won't leave right now where they're just about to win the league. So there's not too many other obvious standouts for me.
Callum Davidson, do you see that as a shout, or anyone else that is an obvious or a potential candidate for you, Killian?
Yeah, no, Callum Davidson isn't a bad shout. I've played under him at Queen's Park. He actually done a pretty good job there, considering he had a very young squad. I think he was brought in to keep them up, kept them up. Now, the only thing is he's in a nice position down at Leicester City as an assistant. I don't know if he's comfortable down there. I don't know. But yeah, no, I think he'd be a safe pair of hands for St Mirren.
I'm going to say something here that I'll throw it out there. And he's a friend of mine. They've got a guy sitting 5 minutes round the corner with bags of experience. He's been in the game for a year and a bit down at Morton as well. He's played with St Mirren. He's worked under Keith Lasley. And to the end of the season, I would go and ask Billy Davis to come in.
Would you go for an interim type appointment, Ben, from now until the end of the season? Or do you think that it's important to get someone in the door now so that they're in there for, you know, pre-season into next season and can get those summer window plans sorted?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you always want a permanent choice, but I wouldn't. It's the way of the world these days. You see a lot of interims, don't you, coming in? So I guess it's a good chance for him to have a look at us and us to have a look at him. So Billy Davidson, an interesting shout. I mean, he obviously was a great player for St Mirren and had a great managerial record. You know, not recently, but he did have manager at the top level. So yeah, an interesting choice. I wouldn't be adverse to it anyway. So, but Callum would be my first choice.
Well, thank you to Ben. What about Logan, who is an Aberdeen fan, up next? Logan, are you happy with the appointment? Not so happy with the appointment?
See, to be honest, I'm absolutely raging at it. It's a complete step backwards for the club. You know, the club's already in a terrible state, and we've got a manager, you know, that's, you know, very strong. I think Aberdeen's got a lot more pull than that. I'm absolutely raging, to be honest with you.
What is it about Stephen Robinson that doesn't do it for you?
Well, he might have, you know, done well at the start of the season, but see, to be honest, as he's went on, he's deteriorated.
Is it not more to do with the sort of back catalogue? Is that not why Aberdeen would go, when you look at what he's done on a, you know, a much smaller budget than what Aberdeen have, finishing in the top six three times, winning the League Cup this season, getting them into Europe, rather than maybe what's happened in the last, you know, 6-8 months?
Aye, well.
And by the way, in that last 6-8 months, they won a League Cup.
But see if I'm an Aberdeen fan, right? I'm not having any goes at Stephen Robinson here, because I think he's done a magnificent job at St Mirren. He's done a real good job at Motherwell as well. Let's not forget that. So I think he's a really good manager. But if I'm an Aberdeen fan, I'm thinking to myself, hold on a minute here. If that was our preferred candidate, we have had an interim manager for about 2-3 months now. Why not just go and get him right away? For me, it's a baffling appointment, right? I think it's an
appointment. Not because of who it is, but how it came about.
Yeah, I think Aberdeen have sort of panicked a little bit after the exit of the Scottish Cup against Dunfermline. I think they look at where they are in the league. I think they look at their performances. I think they look at the club and the team. They maybe have looked at the interim manager and thought, well, he's not getting a tune out of them. We need somebody. And I think Aberdeen were, if they'd have went along and everything would have been rose in the garden, it's only my opinion. I know Alan Burrows listens to us and I don't like to, but I think Aberdeen would have went along to the end of the season, took a deep breath and then decided who their candidate was going to be. But I think there was a wee bit pressure put on them now because of the situation, because Aberdeen fans are—they're going, and Logan will tell you—they're certainly not happy up there.
How frustrating has that process for you been over the last couple of months, Logan? Because it looked as if Eric Hornland was going to be the manager at one point, then Sandro Schwartz was spotted in the stand, wasn't he, alongside Lutz Fahnensteel? Neither of them came to fruition, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, really, Stephen Robinson gets the job, despite the fact that he'd been sort of under Aberdeen's noses for a couple of months.
Aye, I mean, it's very frustrating. It's been far too long a period of time. I just complete incompetence, to be honest with you. It reminds me a bit similar to Rangers and the Danny Rowe situation. You know, I think obviously back then with Dukes, I look at him, you know, could have got him maybe the owners or the chairman said, right, this guy's not going to fit our club, and said, right, I'm not going to get him. And then as the months go on, we've got desperate, and then we're waiting to go open, so I'm absolutely, I'm really not happy. I just don't think he's up to it.
Logan, what is the general feeling from Aberdeen supporters? Is the majority happy with it? Because I think, to be honest, he'll go in there and give them a lift. I think he's a very, very good manager, Stephen. But I know what Aberdeen fans are like. I think they look at, and Logan said there that, I think Aberdeen are looking for a sort of bigger name, if you know what I mean. Because they look at themselves as a really big, big club. This season, they're having a disaster. I know they won the Scottish Cup last year, but they've sacked their manager. They're down in ninth. They'll get put out of the cup in the quarterfinals easily with a championship team. I'm just wondering what the reaction of the majority of Aberdeen fans are.
I'm doing North Ayrshire, to be honest with you, so there's not that many that's doing here.
All right, okay. I built that up brilliantly. Why do you not tell me earlier in your Ayrshire? No, what's your fan saying?
I'm on the Facebook and all that, so I've got my friends after them. To be honest, it seems like there's a loud minority that maybe is not happy, but I think the general feeling is that most of them are, you know, all right with it. But for me, personally, it's just not what I expect. I think Aberdeen are, you know, one of the top three clubs in Scotland. You know, we should be attracting bigger names, and we shouldn't be sailing for average.
I presume St Mirren will be due compensation.
Yeah,
could that have been an issue in the other two managers, where maybe Aberdeen thought that they could wait until the end of the season when their contracts run out, and then there's potentially no compensation. Maybe Stephen Robinson was the first thought, and they thought, well, no, we're going to have to pay compensation to St Mirren. Let's try and wait and get someone without that cost. I don't know.
But what's the difference with paying compensation then and paying it just now? There's no difference, are there?
Maybe the case probably went for other targets, couldn't get them, and then decided to go down
there's no doubt they went for other targets.
News. Thank you to Logan. 01419511025. We're going to play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Your chance to take on either Gordon DL or Killian Sheridan at Beat the Pundit. 01419511025. Get your calls in before 7 o'clock.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still another hour of your calls to come, so get them in. 01419511025. We've been discussing these statements from Rangers and the Scottish FA relating to the Old Firm game at the weekend. We were also looking at the fact that Stephen Robinson is the new Aberdeen manager, getting the perspective of St Mirren and Aberdeen fans, so keep those coming. The likes of Derek McInnes, Jens Bertolasco, Neil McCann have spoken today, so we may hear from them as well. 01419511025, but let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
How's your form, Killian, over the past few weeks? You played much, done all right?
Scraped through last week. The week before, I think I lost in a tiebreaker.
This man is in form. Did you not hear the news? It was in Sky News this morning, the first thing I woke up. Massive game in the Highlands last night. Breaking. Play who? Clacknacudden.
How long have you been sitting on that information?
1-0. Goal scorer to the man to my right.
Good
lethal,
game.
Lethal from half a yard out, I would say.
They all count. Right. Craig is in steps. He's going to be playing. Craig, have you played before?
No, I haven't, guys. This is my first time.
What made you think tonight was the night?
To be honest with you, a bit bored. Just waiting on my dinner being ready, so I thought, why not?
Good stuff. Who would you rather face out of Killian Sheridan and Gordon DL?
I'm not really bothered, to be honest with you. I'm just going to try and do my best. I mean, hopefully a wee bit of novelty playing the dad's work, because he's been playing it for longer. But Killian, I don't know. I don't know what his form's like. I think you're just talking about that there.
I had a poor night on Tuesday, Craig, so if you get me, then a good opportunity.
I like it. Craig just sounds like he's here for the fun.
I think Craig will be very good. There you go.
Right, it will be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Killian Sheridan. It will be the red side for Gordon DL. And it is the red side for Gordon DL. So Craig gets his wish, and we will put something
in
here
Craig.
Of Gordon DL, so he cannot hear us and he can't cheat. and it will be 30 seconds on the clock for you, Craig. I'm sure you know the rules from listening, but 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. How does that sound?
Yep, no bother.
Right, let's go. Who was the first Rangers player to score a penalty on Sunday?
Bynami.
Martin O'Neill won the European Cup twice with which side?
Martin O'Neill, sorry.
Yes.
Nottingham Forest.
Which club has the most clean sheets in the Scottish Premiership this season?
Motherwell.
In what decade did Dunfermline last play in the Scottish Cup final?
The 2010s.
Oliver Burke currently plays in which European league?
The Germany.
Okay, we will bring Gordon DL back in. What were you dancing along to there?
The day.
I don't know why I asked, because you actually don't know the name or lyrics to any song.
Yeah, I do. Bye Bye Miss American Pie.
All right.
Don McLean?
Yeah, that's it.
There we go. So just American Pie would have sufficed.
Well, I didn't know the title, but I knew that that was in.
It's probably a safe bet listening to the song that is the title, would you not think?
Right, okay. All I could hear was Bye Bye American Pie, so...
Anyway, enough of that nonsense. 30 seconds on the clock for Gordon DL. Let's go. Who was the first Rangers player to score a penalty on Sunday?
Pass.
Martin O'Neill won the European Cup twice with which side?
Nottingham Forest.
Which club has the most clean sheets in the Scottish Premiership?
Motherwell.
In what decade did Dunfermline last play in the Scottish Cup final?
2013.
Oliver Burke currently plays in which European league?
Germany.
How many Goodness. Scottish sides has Stephen Robinson managed before Aberdeen?
Two.
Okay, how do you think that went, Craig?
I think it's very close. I think the Dunfermline one, I think it was the 2000s, not the 2010s. Not 2013, that's not a decade, Daz.
Yeah, we'll get on to that. I've got a few issues with some of your answers in here, but we'll go through them. The first one, who was the first Rangers player to score a penalty on Sunday? Craig is a Rangers fan. He might have wanted to forget about the result, but he did remember that Nedim Bairami scored the first penalty for Rangers after James Tavernier's miss. So it goes 1-0 to Craig. Martin O'Neill won the European Cup twice with which side? It was, as you both said, Nottingham Forest. Which club has the most clean sheets in the Scottish Premiership?
Motherwell.
Yeah, but what did you say?
I was actually going to say Falkirk and I went Motherwell.
Did you get the full word of Falkirk out?
No, I'm taking it.
I think he got to Fall.
The Falk and I went Motherwell.
Not on.
I did, Craig, honestly. I wouldn't cheat you, mate.
I'm loathed to give you it, but I think you caught yourself in time. I don't think you said the full word of Falkirk and then corrected it to Motherwell. So I hate to do it, but I think I'm going to give you that. Craig said Motherwell as well.
Oh.
So it's 3-2 to Craig. And what decade did Dunfermline last play in the Scottish Cup final?
Nice.
Craig went for the 2010s. I asked you what decade did Dunfermline last play in the Scottish Cup final, and you said the decade of 2013.
Yeah.
As everyone knows, and that was wrong. It is the noughties, the 2000s. They played in the Scottish Cup final May 2007 against... still wrong. 2007 against Celtic. Neither of you got it. So it remains 3-2 to Craig. Oliver Burke currently plays in which European league? It is the Bundesliga in Germany. You both got that.
Oh, no.
So it is 4-3.
Told you Craig would be good.
You got one more question in. Craig didn't. How many Scottish sides has Stephen Robinson managed before Aberdeen? Pretty easy question.
Motherwell
and St Mirren. 4-4, and we go to a tiebreaker.
What a game that is, Craig.
Well.
Listen, mate, just to let you know, seeing the tiebreaker, I always go 100, right? Always.
Okay, right. What we will do, Craig, is I'll read out the question. Hold off on giving me your answer because I'll get Gordon DL to write his down. And then once he's written his down, I'll invite you to give your answer. In days, how long will this season's Scottish Premiership last?
In days?
In days, how long will this season's Scottish Premiership last? So Gordon DL will write his answer down, which he has done. And Craig, what have you gone for?
That's what I would have guessed.
Hurry up, Craig, stop counting.
260.
You've gone for 260. Gord Diehl, hold up your piece of paper. You have gone for 280. And it's actually not a bad guess at all. 289 is the answer. Gordon Diehl is only 9 days out and wins on a tiebreaker. Craig, how are you feeling after that?
Well, that was a good shot.
Craig, you're a very good player. It only takes the top pundits to beat you, mate. Well done. For your first time, that was good.
Aye, that's my mental math lost me there, to be honest with you. But
you've got to count the days quickly, Craig. You know what I mean? Craig, 30 days has September.
Craig, you're
13 was a decade, so you know. Swings and roundabouts.
There we go. Craig, you're a Rangers fan. How are you feeling about Rangers at the moment, heading back into the Premiership this weekend?
I think we're going to do, hopefully we'll do okay. I'm from Paisley, so it's the first time that I'm going to go see Rangers play in St Mirren in that stadium. So hopefully that should be all right. But we're just a wee bit kind of fed up with everything that went on before. I tried to get on Monday, but tempers have cooled a wee bit more. So I'm probably just going to leave that kind of ruminating, and then hopefully we can move on. And you know, we'll see how the rest of the season goes. I'm not sure that we've got it in us to do it, to be honest with you. But you know what? As long as we don't win, if Hearts win, I'll take that.
How important is sorting out that away record, Craig? Because that's been an issue over the past few weeks, a good few draws in there. If Rangers are going to have ambitions of toppling Celtic and Hearts and winning the title, does that need to start this weekend away at St Mirren, making sure it's all 3 points and nothing else?
Yeah, my issue with Rolle is that he's just making really poor decisions when we're, you know, ahead or we're on the ascendancy. He seems to make really silly decisions and make substitutions that I don't agree with. You know, like, for example, even going back to Sunday there, the fact he didn't bring on Miovski for 120 minutes absolutely baffled me. He's too good at maybe holding on to one goal or two goal leads when, you know, I'm always the most nervous person in the world, because I just don't see us being able to, you know, continue to hold on in these things. We've lost too many points. If you think about the number of points that we've dropped in the last 3-4 weeks, we would be in a much, much better position now. So, you know, let's just see how the rest of the season goes. Hopefully we can make a bit of a fist of it at the very least, and we don't just fall away like we did under Clement a couple of seasons ago.
Can Rangers benefit at all from the fact that St Mirren have lost their manager?
We better, because if we don't, then we've got no chance. That's all I'm going to say about that. You know, if we can't motivate ourselves to win against a managerless St Mirren, then, you know, we might as well just all go home.
That away record is something. St Mirren is always a tough place for teams to go, but Rangers really need to sort that out as quickly as possible, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think probably the manner in which they've been dropping points were from when they've been in good positions and then kind of throwing points away will be a concern from them. St Mirren, as I'm kind of similar to what Gordon was saying earlier, it could be a little bit of a relief for some of the players. I know Stephen Robinson was a very intense manager to play under, so maybe the players just kind of got to a winning that League Cup was their ceiling, and now they might be playing with a little bit more freedom. I don't know. I think they potentially could be a little bit dangerous in that respect. I think if it was still Stephen Robinson there, no, this isn't a slight on Stephen Robinson, but just the way they were going, I probably would have fancied Rangers to go and win. It's not like they were playing St Mirren, the same St Mirren maybe at the beginning of the season or last season. So I do fancy Rangers to win on Sunday.
I was speaking to Jamie Langfield today, who is part of St Mirren's interim coaching staff, of course, has been goalkeeping coach there for about 11 years. Craig McLeish, who's a youth coach there, I think 35 years old, looks as if he's going to be the one kind of leading things. Didn't seem, from what Jamie Langfield was saying today, that the plan is to rip up too much going into the weekend. Do you think that's the smart thing to do?
Yeah, because obviously it's not that far away. It's not like you've got a full week to go and work on things. You're better just keeping things plain and simple, the same way as the manager would have done leading up to the game against Rangers at the weekend. It'll be interesting for the lads. It'll be exciting, and it'll be interesting to see how quickly St Mirren can get a manager in the dugout for the coming weeks, because they're in real trouble just now, so they'll have to sort something out.
Well, thank you to Craig, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson, shall we? He was, of course, appointed Aberdeen manager today, did his unveiling press conference today as well, and he said that it's an honour to be appointed the new head coach of Aberdeen.
Yeah, really proud, really excited about the challenge ahead, and something I'm really, really looking forward to. It happened very, very quickly. You know, it was, the football club made contact with my agent on, it was late Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and it moved very quickly from there. So yeah, of course, that's football. That's the way football works. You don't see things coming sometimes. And it was something that I felt I just could not turn down. It's a huge football club. A huge football club with a great tradition, a great history. It's a club that now needs stability. It needs not to be going up, then down in terms of top six and struggling after that. There has to be now a joined up approach to how we win games, how we play, a real structure and a real identity at the football club. And I believe I can give that to the football.
Ian is an Aberdeen in Paisley. Have you got split loyalties, Ian?
Yeah, it seems so. Hi there, panel. How are you doing?
Good, hi, thank you.
I head up to all the games. I'm an Aberdeen season ticket holder, but when we're playing different days, I'm 20 minutes away from St Mirren, so I go and watch their games as well. And I've been absolutely impressed with Stephen Robson over the years, and even now, although St Mirren's not doing too well, I like his passion. I've seen enough of him on the line, and I've always wanted him to come to Aberdeen. And even at this length of time, week by week, that's never dropped. So when I heard, actually, there was a few of my friends who are St Mirren fans who texted me straight away to let me know what was going on. I was like, wow. And one thing that I was impressed with today, hearing Steve Robson interview as well, was that he's sort of identified some problems that we have already, and my seat is in RDS, I sit behind the goal, and for the past 18 months all I've seen is our team, play from the back and having about 10 or 20 passes on our penalty box, then try to get out of the penalty box, turning back when we're under pressure and making mistakes and losing goals. So I'm dead chuffed. But I wanted to ask as well, the panel, really, do managers who come up from so-called smaller teams, once they get these bigger budgets, do you think they struggle with that? Or do you think that the fact that this is actually something positive, that the way Stephen has managed to balance a small budget and yet allowed St Mirren to be so well. But I'm delighted.
Because generally St Mirren have had to, pretty much summer after summer, have had to replace key players that they lose year on year. They've had a lot of success stories in the way they've done the recruitment under Stephen Robinson. The question is then, does that then scale up?
Everything scales up, Andrew. For a manager as well, if you're at St Mirren, I'm not being disrespectful to St Mirren, but to win a cup is fantastic, right? To finish in the top four, even if they finished 10th this year, it'd have been okay season for them, being in the cup, they're still in the semi-final, brilliant. He's up at Aberdeen, and you hear Ian talking about the club and everything about them. Expectation for him now rises massively. Yes, he'll have a bit bigger budget, he'll be dealing with bigger players and bigger money, so he'll need to manage that as well. So everything's a step up for Stephen Robinson. Let's be honest, because if you look through his career, he started at Oldham, he's been at Morecambe, he's been at Motherwell, and he's been at St Mirren. And you've got to say Aberdeen's probably a bigger club than all them put together. So it's a step up for him as well, and he'll have to deal with a lot of things up there.
Ian says he's looking forward to the change in the style of play. Stephen Robinson has had his critics from some people about the style of play, that it's maybe more direct than people want to see. There's a lot of, winning second balls, crosses into the box. But the one thing you'll say about it, it's been effective over the course. So whether it is the style of play that Aberdeen fans want to see or not, you can't argue the fact that Stephen Robinson's side have got results consistently over the course of a few years.
Yeah, and I think Aberdeen have been here before with when Derek McInnes was there and brought success there and done well, then the whole style of play became an issue. And then since he's left, they haven't really replaced any of that. I get the cup season last year, but I think, I don't know, what would you prefer? Walk away from a game and say, wow, we played really well today, or walk away from a game having won? I think most fans would rather leaving a game having won with 3 points and being successful. I think Stephen Robinson, the difference from now is, so far, every club he's been at, any success he's had, or even just doing well in terms of good league positions, has always been deemed as overachieving. Whereas I feel like unless he goes and does incredibly well at Aberdeen, anything other than potentially winning a cup or finishing in probably third position is potentially going to be seen as underachieving, maybe for the first time in his career. So it's a real challenge for him personally, I think, in that regards, to managing the step up from the teams that he's had up until now.
Well, thank you to Ian. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in and I'll tell you about this.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Yeah, we are delighted to have teamed up all this month with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. It kicked off last night across Glasgow City Centre. We had Mark Jennings on the show. You'll have heard if you're listening into the show as well. We've been running competitions, which somehow you've been making the most of as well, Gordon, because any time there is a sniff of a free ticket to anything, Gordon Dale's interested.
You mentioned sniff there, you're looking at my nose and I don't know why. I was nothing to do, mind my business. It's, somebody said it was my birthday on Monday when there was a show on and I get an invite to dinner and tickets at the Oranmore.
So you got invited to tickets, what is it, for Fessel? But
I'm glad you said that.
But did you get invited for dinner, or are you just trying to get a free dinner added on top of it? Because what it sounds like.
The prize was dinner for two tickets.
The prize for the winner of the radio competition, not the free thing that you've managed to...
No, but the person, I don't know who it is, Gordon's dealt with it, actually text in and says, look, tell Gordon for his birthday, we'll treat him to dinner for two and tickets.
I mean, that just sounds like a ploy to get a free dinner for you. But anyway, whether Gordon DL gets his dinner or not, you could be a lucky winner, because we're keeping it going on Bowie at Breakfast. Tune in tomorrow morning for your chance to win tickets to see Scotland's own Daniel Sloss at the SEC Armadillo on Saturday the 28th of March, and tickets to the Festival Gala on Sunday the 29th of March, the day after as well. We're also throwing in an overnight stay at the AC Hotel on George Street, plus two courses and two drinks at the Duke's Umbrella. Don't get any ideas, Gordon DL, about trying to get in on that one. So you can get in on that at Bowie at Breakfast tomorrow, and don't forget to check out Glasgow ComedyFestival.com for all the shows across the month.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Keep those calls coming on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025. Lots of interest in the fact that Stephen Robinson is the new Aberdeen manager. Been reacting to statements from Rangers and the Scottish FA about Sunday's Old Firm. We'll look ahead to the weekend's action as well. Lots of good games coming up. 0141 951 1025. Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan in the studio. I was just enjoying the exchange the two of you were having there during the break. Culturally different, I would say, the two of you. Killian was saying he was at the cinema. He was at the cinema the other day, and he was watching a Portuguese language film, all subtitled. What was it? Quite an arty film. Just something that doesn't sound up your street. Could you sit in a cinema for what was it? Almost 3 hours. Essentially reading subtitles in a Portuguese film.
Do you know what I thought you were going to say then? I thought you were going to say you were going to build that up and then say, and Gordon Dale asked him, did you get a pick mix?
You did ask that. That was the only thing you asked about that.
I couldn't understand anybody getting to pictures at 21 in the afternoon and watch subtitles for 3 hours. As he quite rightly said, you're reading a book, you'd be better going to a library with a triangle.
Yeah, there's certain types of films that you prefer, stuff like The Housemaid and stuff like that. I imagine is
I
more.
I could not watch that nonsense.
Your street. 0141 951 1025. Robbie is a Celtic fan. Oh. In folk. Oh, sorry. What
teaser, please?
Oh, teaser. Of course. Sorry. What am I doing? I'm getting ahead of myself, Robbie.
Come on.
Right.
No wonder I can only apologise to Gordon for calling you Gordon.
Right. Let's do it.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
That's what I get for trying to ridicule you.
Exactly.
Isn't it? Anyway, big thanks to our sponsors, Arcaplan Glasgow, in conjunction with the full-time teaser. Mark and Ardrossan sent this one in. Before this season, can you name the last 8 non-Old Firm managers to manage a team in a Scottish Cup semi-final? So before this season, can you name the last 8 non-Old Firm managers to manage their team in a Scottish Cup semi-final?
Davidson.
Callum Davidson is incorrect.
What?
Doesn't go that far back.
Jimmy Thielen.
Correct. Jimmy Thielen was manager for Aberdeen against Hearts 2025.
Callum Davidson's not there.
No, that was the COVID season, wasn't it? So it doesn't go that far back. Because remember, there'll be 2 semi-finals every season. Celtic and Rangers can only take up maximum 2 of those spots. So there's going to be quite a few non-Old Firm managers.
Non-Old Firm.
Stephen Robinson.
Stephen Robinson, no. Has not made it to a Scottish Cup semi-final in that time.
Inverness.
John Hughes.
You two are struggling here, big time.
No, Inverness are in the final.
Oh, no, Billy Dodds. Billy Dodds
is correct.
God.
Can you remember who Inverness played in the semi-final at all?
Was David Gray one?
David Gray is not one. Fancy saying a name instead of just pointing at me?
No, he's 19 money.
Right, never mind. We'll come back to that anyway. Robbie has been holding on the line. Sorry about that, Robbie. What is your point tonight?
I've got a couple to make. Andrew, thanks for having me on the show. I've got one about the managerial appointment for Celtic, and I'll make that to Gordon Dalziel. And the second one, I'll be just about team selection for Saturday. I'll make that one to Killian Sheridan. Mm-hmm. So, Gordon, personally, I've got my own pick for the managerial appointment. I've just seen tonight that that's been breaking sort of kind of in the last couple of hours. It's been picked up that Robbie Keane is a new favourite according to the sources. And even though Jens Bertelsku has got admirers within the Celtic boardroom, apparently that source is saying that they think it might be too much a jump up for Motherwell to Celtic. Now, I didn't get that, Gordon. Here's why. I was on this radio station, must have been about 3 or 4 months ago, making this point. See, when it comes to Celtic have appointed managers in the past with less experience than Jens Bertelsku. Neil Lennon, no managerial experience. He had been a coach at Nottingham Forest, a coach under Gordon Strachan, no managerial experience, none. Graham Souness at Rangers, none. 30, and he was even younger than Neil Lennon, 33-year-old, no managerial experience. Paul Le Guin, look at all the managerial experience he had. One of the most sought-after managers in Europe. So it works both ways. You can bring somebody in with no managerial experience at all, and they're a success. As I say, he came for Leon, that Paul Le Guin. Real Madrid were wanting him. Rangers got him. Failure. So, see, we can all say, well, we'll choose him because he's got this experience. But it's been proven the history of managerial appointments can go both ways. You can bring a guy in with Hunter's experience, flop. Guy with no experience at all, hit. So, this is just my own opinion. I just got a good feeling about the guy, that the way he's playing football. And then what really impresses me, Gordon, is, and it impresses you as well, it goes without saying anybody that's on the panel or anybody listening, what he's got, that group of players playing with Motherwell is incredible. The players, let's be honest, the players that are known, their value, the wages they're on, but he's got them playing absolutely brilliant. And outplaying, not always getting the result. That was obviously, there's a couple of draws in there, and Celtic beat them earlier in the season at 3-2 at Celtic Park when they were the better team.
and they beat Celtic. I just think that at the end of the day is Gordon. A guy like Knutson at Bodo Glimp, he would be the dearer appointment. And that boy, a mother, will be the cheaper appointment to Scandinavian managers. But I'll tell you one thing right now. I reckon, gut feeling, as I say, you'll never ever know until he's in the hot seat. But I think that what he's doing at the moment, Celtic would be off their heads to know at least have him in the shortlist. What do you think, Gordon?
I totally agree. I think he should be in the shortlist. I know that a lot of people can say, well, like Stephen Robertson going from St Mirren to Aberdeen, it's different pressure. Going from Motherwell manager to Celtic is massive. Of course it is. It's such a big step up. But it's just the way he plays football. It's the way he thinks about football. It's everything about it. I think Celtic fans will get a good look at the way he sets up at the weekend. Because I imagine Motherwell will go there and they'll have a big majority of the ball. And even though it's Celtic Park, I think that'll be a difficult game.
A big majority of the ball. You feel that they'll dominate possession.
I think, put it this way, I don't think they'll go there and they'll sit back and Celtic will have 65-75% possession of the ball. I think Motherwell can, when they get the ball, I think Celtic will find it very hard to get it off them. Their style of football is brilliant. He's improved, and I'm not being disrespectful here, he's been improved average, not, you know, average pros that play for, like, say, Motherwells, the Hibs and whatever, right? He's improved them immensely. Incredible. By the way, a full squad. He makes 6-7 changes sometimes and it doesn't seem to affect their team. My thing is, if he could get a pre-season with this quality that Celtic's got to bring in, because I don't think Celtic will mess up another transfer window. I think in the summer they'll probably work very hard to get into right, and he goes in there with that quality player. And Celtic, for instance, not just for a Scottish game, where I think it benefits Celtic is European games. And I watch him even at the warm-ups. He's listen, all teams come out and they do the same boring warm-up, right? This guy has got his coaching staff out there, and it was I went up early when they played Rangers, and I was sitting right where they were warming up,
and left
it's
early.
Everything base what.
And left early.
And left early, yeah. And it was everything based on how they were going to play the ball when the game started. And I thought to myself, this guy's thinking out the box all the time. Look, he's been brilliant for Motherwell. Of course, Motherwell don't want to lose him. The fans are loving the football. They had a blip against Dundee. Everybody was thinking they were still in the title race. I always thought they were a bit short for that. They'll have a big say in it because nobody will like going to Fir Park. Look at their last 11 games. I think only Rangers have scored there. So, yeah, I think he deserves to be in the shortlist. I know he's only been in the country for the first season, but the evidence is there of the football and the style he plays.
Robbie, what was your point quickly on team selection?
Colin, just for the... I'll just actually a couple of positions for Saturday against Motherwell. Left back, I would bring in Sarache for Tierney. If Tierney is going to be touch and go, I can make Callum McGregor is definitely going to be longer because it's been confirmed for Martin O'Neill. So I just wonder who you would play at left back. I don't know if you'd play Scales here again, but I would go for Sarache. And in the middle of the park, who would you go for to replace Callum McGregor there? I think it'll be two men that'll get the possibilities. I don't know. So I'm going to leave it up to you to decide Paolo Bernardo or Oxlade-Chamberlain to go into that holding midfield position. What do you think, Killian, in the left-back position?
I think you'll go Sarache. I think he put Liam Scales in there at the weekend to kind of counter Rangers style. I feel that's what he wanted, probably a bit more height and physical presence, so he went with Liam Scales. I think Sarache's a pretty safe option as well. He's shown he can come in and do just as good a job as Kieran Tierney when he's not available, so I don't think there's any worry there. And I'd like to see Oxlade-Chamberlain to take up that position. I think the Rangers games are just a little bit too fast paced for him. I think they kind of caught him a little bit off guard. But I think he could be a player like that against Motherwell could be the player that they need there, especially when Callum McGregor's not there to kind of dictate a game and possibly slow it down when they need to. And I think Oxlade-Chamberlain has the ability to do that. I really fancy Celtic on Saturday. I have for the last week or two, despite how they've been playing and they're still getting through games and getting victories. I just think they know that it's come to this time that they need to really kind of it's a chance for them to lay down a marker as well against the team Motherwell that everyone's praising. If you're a player at Celtic now, you don't want to hear everyone saying that Motherwell are the best team in the country. You should be, if you're at Celtic, you should be thinking, hold on a minute, we're Celtic players. We're the best players in the country. We need to show this that we're the better team.
Well, thank you to Robbie. 0141 951 1025. More of your calls to come, more answers on this teaser to come from you too. Hopefully, before this season, can you name the last 8 non-Old Firm managers to manage their team in a Scottish Cup semi-final? So far, you have Jimmy Tilleen and Billy Dodds.
Is Stephen Naismith one?
Stephen Naismith is correct. He was Hearts manager 2024.
Right.
David Martindale?
No. Not
Hibs were there. Who was the Hibs manager? Hibs were, it's a Hibs manager, isn't it?
There is one Hibs manager in there, yeah.
Jack Ross?
No.
No.
It wasn't Paul Phelan? Phelan?
No.
Oh, good.
He's now at another Scottish Premiership
Maloney.
Club. Sean Maloney is correct. I will give you some thinking time while I tell you about our new podcast sponsor, White & Mackay. It's triple matured whiskey crafted on the Clyde. If you thought Gordon DL was trying to get freebies from the last thing I was reading out, just imagine what he's going to be saying about this. Like Super Scoreboard, they are proudly from Glasgow but celebrated globally. If you ever missed a show, you can always catch up on the Rail app or wherever you get your podcasts. So check out the Clyde One Super Scoreboard podcast, proudly sponsored by White & Mackay triple matured whiskey, a proper Scotch whiskey for a proper football chat. Visit whiteandmackay.com and always drink responsibly.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Final chance to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. Some work to be done on this teaser. Before this season, can you name the last 8 non-Old Firm managers to manage their team in a Scottish Cup semi-final like Jimmy Tilleen, Stephen Naismith, Billy Dodds and Sean Maloney?
Right, we're staying with Hearts. Robbie Nielsen.
Robbie Nielsen is correct. 2022, they beat Hibs.
And the manager who I tipped his team would go down this season, John McGlynn.
Prediction is not going well.
Seriously?
Do you know what happened? The start of the season, we played them in the League Cup. And they hammered us, and I was bitter after it.
So it wasn't even, it was based on them playing well that you tipped them to go down.
I said that, and then I said it again in a few weeks. I just doubled down on it. And
you're sitting here as a pundit on a Thursday night with me.
Who did you tip to go down?
Falkirk.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly. Knew it. 0141 951 1025. John is a Kilmarnock fan. Up next, John, what are you thinking tonight?
Good evening, panel. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
I've got a couple of points I'd like to make, and it starts off at the weekend. Obviously, we had a disappointing game, an extremely disappointing game against Falkirk. The last game, we beat 5-1. And my pal came up to me and he said, Kelly, I've done as a team. And you can call me bold here for saying this. If we had Tyrese John-Jules back fit for the remainder of this season, I feel we're pushing top six.
You think for the rest of the season, from now until the end of the season, you'd be able to push top six?
You can disagree with me.
Oh, we're disagreeing. Don't worry about that. That's coming.
If we've got Tyrese John-Jules back fit, I feel we could go for a top six.
The thing is, many people think that the gap between Dundee United and Falkirk isn't attainable. I actually don't think it's arithmetically possible for Kilmarnock to get anywhere near, because the top six
is 21 points.
Yeah, 21 points to Falkirk's 42. So arithmetically, it wouldn't be possible.
Maybe mathematically it's wrong, but do you see where I'm coming from? If we had Tyrese John-Jules, it's just a comment from a pal at the weekend says Kelly are done.
The problem with that, John, is that Kilmarnock don't have Tyrese John-Jules, and I know he was really coming onto a game before his injury. The fact that he is injured, the fact that there was that big defeat last time out to Falkirk, does that not concern you at all? Or is there enough evidence from what you've seen from Neil McCann's side that he can steer clear of safety?
I think Neil McCann genuinely is one of the top managers in this league. And another thing, I'm hearing all the Aberdeen going for Stephen Watt. Why have they not went for Neil McCann?
What's the evidence that Neil McCann is? I know he's come in, got a couple of wins, one against Aberdeen, one against St Mirren. Is it that miraculous a job that he's done so far that you feel he should have been in for the Aberdeen job already?
I'm waiting for John to say, why did the Aberdeen no come and sign all the Kilmarnock players? It's the only thing that's missing. John, listen, where I will agree with you, right? I think Kilmarnock would have a far stronger chance in staying in the league if Jules was fit, because I thought he was brilliant for them. He was a goal scorer. He looked a real, real top player. So I would definitely go with John in that. I think he's going to be a massive, massive loss to Kilmarnock. They're still in there. Yeah. It depends how they do. They've got a difficult one, but it's at home against Hearts. That'll be a cracker Saturday evening. And obviously St Mirren host Rangers. So I think it's going to be a fight between Kilmarnock and St Mirren just now, because you would think maybe Stephen Robinson getting into Aberdeen, give them that wee lift, maybe kick them on, but...
And hard to tell with St Mirren as well, because you don't know how they'll react. First of all, this weekend with Craig McLeish and Jamie Lyonfield in charge, and then how quickly they appoint a permanent manager and who that permanent manager is.
Yeah, I think that's... you've got to look at St Mirren, but John's got to concentrate, as is Neil McCann and everyone concerned with Kilmarnock and their own club. I think it'll be very tight. I really do. I think it'll be very tight. I do think the loss of the lad was massive for them. I really do. Because the one thing that can get you out of situations, I know people talk about clean sheets, this guy that puts the ball in the back of net, and he certainly could do that. He'd an eye for goal. He got off to a great start in his Kilmarnock career, and it's a shame for everybody down there that he's now got to be missing. But it's up to Neil to organise them and try and grind out results and just get them out that 11th spot.
John, what specifically have you seen over the course of those 9 games that gives you the confidence that Kilmarnock will be absolutely fine?
Well, I go back to obviously the 3-0 win against Aberdeen. That was one of the best Kilmarnock performances I've seen. And obviously we took a sore one against Celtic. We took a sore one the week before that against Rangers. But I tell you what, for the 45 minutes we played against Rangers at Ibrox, I thought we were excellent. And then obviously Celtic, we were excellent as well.
There definitely have been some positives in there, and there has been, you know, an upturn in points as well, getting those couple of wins, draw against Dundee United, was there a draw against Livingston, was it as well, in there at the start of Neil McCann's reign. So they have started picking up more points than they had done in the early stages of the season. So there are those positives, but that defeat to Falkirk was pretty damning last time out. So it'll be big to see how Kilmarnock react to that this weekend. That'll be a huge factor, because another tough game at home to Hearts.
Yeah, it's a massive game for everyone. It's a massive game for Kilmarnock in terms of a chance for them to catch St Mirren. You look at the other side with how it can hurt Hearts. But for Kilmarnock, I think you could see there was the upturn in points when Neil McCann came in, but also you could see the actual performance, the way they were playing. They had a real nice style of play. I think John Jules was probably pivotal in that, and you can see that it is going to be tough for them to get back to that level that they were playing. There's probably be a lot more pressure on players like Bruce Anderson who'll come in, and he'll have to replace the goals and probably general all-round play as well that John Jules had brought. He was a real handful up there. And he was a player that he was a striker that got to a level of confidence that if you're a striker playing with confidence, you feel you can do everything, your touch is good, you're suddenly fitter, you're sharper, and he just looked like he had got to that place. So I think it'll be... I saw Neil McCann saying that they've been stewing on the 5-1 defeat to Falkirk for the last, I think, since it happened. So I think that they'll be fired up for it, but it's up to the other guys to kind of replace John Jules in terms of the system, not just the player. He needs a player to come in and just be able to adapt to the style that Neil McCann is trying to implement there.
Well, thank you to John. Just a final piece of news today that I wanted to touch on. Derek McInnes saying today that Lauren Shankland and Cammy Devlin will be back in full training from next week, could face Dundee the following weekend. How big a boost is that? Because I think the blow of losing Cammy Devlin has been softened massively by the fact that Mark Leonard came in January and it's been a brilliant signing, has really shown up well. Hearts just haven't managed to find that Lauren Shankland replacement. He had that great partnership with Claudio Braga. They've not managed to find a player to kind of replicate that. So getting Lauren Shankland back and potentially in the goal scoring form he was in at the start of the season, potentially having Cammy Devlin and Mark Leonard together in midfield, that's got to be a massive boost.
Yes, of course it is. Derek will be absolutely delighted if he can get the two up and running again, because up until that injury, Devlin for me was sensational. Shanklin's massive for them. He can get you the goals, important goals in the big games. I think he's got everything in his locker, and he had a great relationship with Braga, as you quite rightly said. Good news for Hearts going forward.
Right, final answers on these teaser before this season. Can you name the last 8 non-old firm managers to manage their team in a Scottish Cup semi-final? You have Jimmy Tilleen, Stephen Naismith, Billy Dodge, John McGlynn, Robbie Nielsen and Sean Maloney. 2 more to go.
Go on.
Neil Critchley.
Neil Critchley is a good shout. You are missing 1 from last season. So you got 1 of them in... you've got 3 from last season in Neil Critchley and Jimmy Tilleen. You're missing 1, and Celtic were the other semi-finalists. So who did Celtic play in the semi-final last season and won 5-0? I'm going to need to tell
Aberdeen.
You the team. St Johnston. Current St Johnston manager.
Simo Vallecari.
The guys will be back tomorrow night. Callum Gallagher is up next.